welcome. My name's Mason, and this is Mace on Movies, and I am back, baby. Yeah, after the summer break, it's been a long absence from the podcasting realm. I had a bit of a rest after going so hard on all of the different series and TV shows that I was doing reviews for. Took a nice little rest as I'm teaching here in Japan and had a bit of a summer break. So enjoyed that time resting with my wife, resting at home, and enjoying the downtime. But I'm back into the podcasting with today's review of Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, which is the latest release from Marvel, coming in and introducing a new character, giving us an origin for Shang-Chi, played by Simu Liu, and expanding the Marvel Universe in new and exciting directions. So I'm very excited to be able to come in and give my thoughts on this film. And coming down the pipeline later on this week, I will also be getting back to wrapping up my journey through Ghibli. I've got about 5 or 6 films left in that series, so I'm going to be wrapping that up. There is a new film on Netflix coming this weekend called Kate, which looks like a cool action flick that I'll probably do a review for next week. So things will be back up and rolling. Excited about everything that's coming. Excited to see Star Wars Visions being released, that series of short films that's coming to Disney Plus. Definitely going to do some reviews for that. I will be doing a review once Marvel's What If series has wrapped up. I'll do a general review for the first season of that. So getting back into it. But the main focus of today is going to be my review of Shang-Chi, and this will be initially a non-spoiler review. I'll give my overall thoughts, and then I will jump into spoilers, just a couple things that I'm excited to talk about. This is actually a very difficult movie to talk about without revealing spoilers, just because of the directions that it takes, but I think I will do my best to give a general review if you have not seen it. And then I will give a spoiler warning later. But I tweeted out, after I saw this film, I was so excited to be able to see another Marvel movie on the big screen after seeing Black Widow a couple months ago. It's always great to be able to go in. We did have a full but socially distanced showing that we went to, my wife and I, and just had a great time in the theater. This is definitely a movie that you have to see on the big screen. It's done with such artistry. It's really beautifully shot. Some amazing action sequences, some beautiful martial arts scenes, especially the opening of the film, as we see Shang-Chi's parents meeting and just kind of the martial arts dance that they do in their first encounter with each other. Just such a beautifully shot scene that is very reminiscent of something like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and the stunt choreography that they had in that film, a very similar style in that scene, which I think we've seen in some of the trailers for the film. It is absolutely gorgeous to see on the big screen. And, there's so much stunt work and just amazing, the one thing I think that I was worried about going into this film is that when I was watching the trailers, I wasn't super impressed by the CGI that I was seeing. And maybe it was just because I was looking at it, on the TV screen, on YouTube. Sometimes the CGI, especially in earlier trailers when it's not quite finished, they're still refining it, it just sometimes can look like it's going to be too CGI heavy. And that can actually sometimes take away from the film. So I was a little bit worried about that going in because I wasn't impressed so much by the trailers. Obviously, I love martial arts films and things like that, but I just was a little bit worried that it'd be too CGI heavy. But I'm very happy to say that, a lot of the fight choreography that we see in this film is very much, it's not something that's like shaky cam, it's not weird framing that you got, like the weird camera angles that you got in something like Snake Eyes that came out earlier this year. It really is, you can see the movement, you can see the stunt choreography, you can see it very clearly, you can see that it really is, for the most part, these actors doing the stunt choreography themselves, the fight choreography themselves. They've obviously trained really hard for this film. I think that it really pays off on the big screen. And so, yeah, I definitely, especially when we get into the third act, just the epic scale of the third act, I think really deserves to be seen on the big screen. And I'm not going to give that, give details of that away, but you, trust me, you want to see it on the big screen. So if you haven't gone out in opening weekend, we definitely encourage you to, maybe you've been thinking like, oh, maybe we'll just watch it at home, wait for it to hit Disney Plus. I think you would regret not seeing this on the big screen because of things like that. But Simu Liu is not the only person in this film. I do want to mention the rest of the cast. We do have Awkwafina as his friend Katie. We've got Munger Zhang as Xiaoling. And we've got Fala Chen as Ying Li, who is Shang Li's mother. We've got Benedict Wong, obviously, coming back in as Wong. We've got Michelle Yeoh as Ying Nan. Ben Kingsley is in here. Maybe that was a bit of a spoiler, but we do get we get a continuation of the character of the Mandarin that was born in Iron Man 3. We do get, you know, I don't think it's that much of a spoiler. Obviously, Disney did release the All Hail the King one shot on Disney Plus. It was already there as like a special feature, but they highlighted it on the service as a way to say like, hey, you know, we're not finished with the Mandarin. So we do get Ben Kingsley back. We've got Tony Leung as Wen Wu. And I think that rounds out the main cast, as well as Florian Muntinau as Razor Fist. So really great cast. And the entire cast is excellent. Like, I think that a lot of people coming out of this are saying, you know, Xiaoling is, you know, as Shang-Chi's sister, is one of the standouts for sure. Munger Zhang does a just fantastic job bringing this character, you know, to the screen. She definitely steals the show in a lot of scenes. Awkwafina, for me, is not a comedian that I gravitate to. I've tried watching Nora from Queens. It wasn't really my style. It wasn't my jam. I think that I don't dislike Awkwafina. I think she's really entertaining. She has her moments. But I wasn't sure like how I was going to feel about her character in this film. But for the most part, I did really enjoy her character. There's one or two things for me that didn't totally add up with her character that I'll get into when I talk spoilers. But overall, I really enjoyed her, as, you know, as the best friend, as Katie. I think she did a great job. She brings a lot of fun to this film, some great comic relief. And obviously, like, you know, Tony Leung as Wen Wu also just brings so much to this film. I would say that as far as Marvel villains or antagonists go, he's definitely up high on the list, for sure. And I think that he does an excellent job in this film, really brings a lot of weight to this film as an antagonist. And obviously being the father of Shang-Chi, and Xiaoling, I think that he, yeah, there's a lot in those relationships in this film that adds to it. It's not just a stock action film. There really is a lot of heart. There's a lot of deeper meaning. There are a lot of deeper themes that go into this film when it comes to family, that I think that this film explores really well. And I think that so much love has gone into this film. And what I alluded to earlier in this review is that coming out of the film, I would say that this ranks as probably the best origin film that exists in the MCU up until this point. Very closely followed, in my opinion, by Black Panther in terms of these solo origin films. Obviously, you can say like Infinity War was, you know, Thanos's origin was in there, but it wasn't necessarily entirely an origin film just for him. So I don't consider that to be an origin film. So, you know, you could say that, you know, Infinity War is the best origin film, but, you know, I would rank Infinity War higher in the MCU. But I would say that Shang-Chi, you know, just on first viewing, has come in, you know, at the number five spot in the top five for me in the MCU. I think it really is that good, not just because of the action or the fight choreography. I think that it just, the way that it expands the Marvel universe and the way that it does for the Chinese audience what Black Panther did for African Americans, for the Black community, I feel like this is just as powerful in its portrayal of that community, of Asian Americans, and of Chinese people and their culture and the folklore and the mythology and all of those things. I think that it really represents all of that on screen. And I know that going back to another Disney movie, Mulan, I know that some of the issues that I was seeing on Twitter that Asian Americans and Chinese people in particular had with that film is that Mulan really hammers home that sense of duty and obligation and bringing honor to your family so much, like over and over and over again. It kind of hits you over the head with it throughout the film. And they're kind of saying like, there's more to our culture than this. There's more to our culture than just honoring your family. And there is an Asian American experience. Obviously, like, Mulan's not going to explore the Asian American experience because it's not set in America. But I think that Shang-Chi does have that opportunity to explore what it's like for Asian Americans and some of the stereotyping that happens with them, you know, talking about, you know, Shang-Chi as a character, talking about how when he first came to America, you know, people call him Gangnam Style and, you know, he's like, I'm not Korean. Like, you know, just the Asian kind of, the way that sometimes they get all lumped into one group and people are like, oh, we can't tell you apart and things like that. Like, and really the bullying that they experience, it doesn't spend a lot of time on that, but I think it says enough about those things to where I think people in the Asian American audience would feel seen and represented by those moments. So I think that that's really special. But it also dives into, like, fully into kind of Asian mythological creatures in a really fun and exciting way, and really brings those things to life in a way that adds depth to the story. Like, it's not just throwing a bunch of myth, it's not just throwing a bunch of creatures on screen to have creatures on screen, but it really is representing these deeper elements, I think, of their history, of their mythology, of their folklore and things like that. So I think it was just such a beautiful, like, I'm not Asian. I'm a white American guy, but I felt like this film was treated with a lot of love and a lot of respect. And I think that shows on screen, it shows in the story, it shows in the performances. And I think that this is truly a special film, and it is unlike any superhero film we have seen up until this point, especially within the MCU. So I think this film is a huge accomplishment. It's not good just because it's new. It's not good just because it's different. It's good because at every level of this film, there is a respect and there is a standard and a quality to every element of this film that I think makes it truly stand apart in the same way that Black Panther did when that came out. So I'm not putting them in the same category for any reason other than these are films within the MCU that have explored different areas of our culture that exist in our world. And I think that that's really exciting. Even though, you know, Wakanda is not a real place, it did beautifully represent, I think a lot of people would say, beautifully represented African culture. And so, yeah, I think that this film, in my opinion, did the same thing with Chinese culture and Chinese mythology. So that was a lot of fun. It does go in surprising directions. It expands the MCU. And I think that's the other reason that this film ranks really high is that, you know, when we got, you know, the Thor films, we kind of started to explore the gods. And then when we got Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like we're exploring other planets and space travel and things like that, exploring other worlds. And, you know, and then you get Doctor Strange, you're exploring different dimensions. And then, you know, I feel like this film expanded the universe in another direction as well. So, yeah, just really exciting, really fun. Like I said, number five in my entire MCU ranking, just super high. So if you haven't seen it, absolutely encourage you to check it out. Like I said, there were a couple issues that I had, very, very small issues that I had with the film, just different character choices, just a couple things that didn't totally, weren't completely realistic for me in terms of storytelling. Just kind of like made me shake my head a little bit, like, oh, that's a choice. But I think overall is incredibly well done. My issues are very small issues. And I think this is an incredibly well-made film. So I'm going to get into spoilers now. So if you haven't seen it, I'm going to talk about a couple things from the film. I'm going to talk about those specific issues that I had, and then the things that I'm excited about and the questions that I had coming out of this film. So if you haven't seen it, spoiler warning, I'm going to jump into it now. But I guess I'll get the issues out of the way first. The first issue that I had was specifically with Awkwafina's character, and just the way that, like, at the end of the film and in the mid-credits scene, we see, like, Shang-Chi obviously being brought into, by Wong, being brought into this world with the Avengers, and, you know, kind of given the speech that Iron Man gives to Spider-Man, is like, your entire world's about to change, and it's great, like, totally makes sense, but the fact that Katie was there, I'm just like, what exactly is, like, how did she qualify? You know, like, I understand that she had her journey, and I did love her journey and the way that she goes on this journey of, like, and obviously Shang-Chi does as well, but Katie goes on this journey of, like, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit nothing. And I think that that was a really powerful journey for her. I enjoy that journey for her character. She was a very quick study with the bow. The fact that she's the one to take that shot in the final act, I was like, that's a bit of a stretch. But obviously she showed that she was competent and she was trained. So it wasn't like completely out of the realm of possibility. But I think that I kind of jokingly tweeted out, like, I jokingly tweeted, like, Awkwafina in the Hawkeye series or we riot, like something like that. Because I think that it would be fun if that's going to be her contribution. Obviously, we have people like Hawkeye and like Black Widow in the MCU who are trained, who are just human. They don't have superpowers, but they have a skill. So I think if her skill is developed to the level of a Hawkeye, then I think that that's great. But I think there needs to be, like, I just didn't understand, like, why she's kind of Shang-Chi's plus one in the invitation to the Sanctum Sanctorum and things like that. I was like, I don't know. I don't quite understand why she's here. The other moment I had with that was in bringing the Mandarin back, in bringing Trevor Slattery back. I think that Ben Kingsley's amazing. I think he's hilarious. I think that character's hilarious. I love what they did in kind of explaining the appropriation of the Mandarin, of that character, of the Ten Rings. I think they did a great retcon of that. I don't know if it's a retcon, but kind of expanding what the Ten Rings are in this film. And the way that obviously when we would be upset that someone is claiming to be the leader of his organization and using, as he says, the name of a chicken dish as his name. You know, I thought that that was really brilliantly done. But the fact that he, like, is the one that understands this creature and kind of helps lead them to this other dimension, this magical dimension that Shang-Chi's mother is from and her people are from, I was like, we're kind of stretching the inclusion of this character in the film. But you do need, I think that on the flip side of that, you do need these everyday people who are kind of out of their element to act as the audience and kind of view this through the lens of a regular person. So I get that as well. But I was just like, we're kind of stretching it with Trevor Slattery and with Katie in this film. But I think it's fun. It's fun fish out of water stuff for them. So overall, I wasn't super bothered by it, but I definitely was like, at the end of the film in the mid-credits scene, I was like, I get why Shang-Chi is there, but why is Katie there? Like, so I hope that she'll get more training. I hope that she'll spend more time, kind of growing in her abilities. I think that she can be a great kind of sidekick or, a great kind of co-lead with Shang-Chi, because I enjoyed her, but I think that yeah, we need to see some training there before it makes sense for her to be with the Avengers. So I didn't quite understand all of that at the end. But the other thing that I thought was really exciting at the end of this film is the fact that we get Zhao Ling, you know, taking over the Ten Rings. She says she's going to disband it, but it looks like she's kind of taking over the organization. And so I wonder what her role will be. I wonder what they'll be doing. You know, Florian Muntenu, the guy who plays Razor Fist, was saying like he views Razor Fist not as a villain, but as a superhero. So I wonder if the Ten Rings organization is going to be kind of a morally gray organization. Is it going to be, you know, that fighting ring? Are they going to kind of be an organization that's like maybe the Flag Smashers, who have altruistic motives but can kind of come into conflict with a team like the Avengers or with the government? So I'm interested to see where they take that. I was really hoping at the end of the film when it says the Ten Rings will return, I'm really hoping that that becomes a Disney Plus series. I would love to see a series with Zhao Ling and with the Ten Rings. I would love that to be a series. I don't want to wait for her to be like a background, or like, I don't want to wait a couple of years, or like to have her be a small part of another movie. I would really like to see her get a series, have that organization get a series, so that we get to spend more time with that character. So I think she's a great character, and I want more than 2 hours with her. I want to spend, you know, 6 to 8 episodes. I think there's a lot of potential there. So I'm really hoping that we get that. The big question that we have at the end of this film is, where are the Ten Rings from? Who are they signaling? And where do we go from here? Because we've now opened another dimension. We've explored, obviously, Doctor Strange, kind of, we get the dark dimension. You know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, we've got the quantum realm. So we've got these kind of places in between universes, in between realities, that we're starting to explore. And now we have this magical kingdom that Shang-Chi's mother is from. So of Ta-Lo. Ta-Lo is that magical kind of pocket dimension that's kind of parallel to our world, but not part of our world. So I think we've just set up really exciting directions. Obviously, Phase 4 of the MCU is going big. It's going into the quantum realm. It's going into multiple realities, the multiverse. So I just think we've, like I said, that's the part of the film where they've not just done a great origin, but they've expanded the universe once again by showing that there's not just a dark dimension, there's not just a quantum realm, there's places like Ta-Lo. So I hope we'll see more of those places in between our universes. I think that's really exciting. So yeah, I'm looking forward to whatever they have next. But there is a question about, when is this film exactly set? How does this, like, when are we going to see Shang-Chi again? Will he pop up in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness? Could we see him start to cameo in different films? Could he pop up in the Eternals? You know, like, is Wong going to pop up in the Eternals now? Like, are we going to get more mid-credits or end-credit scenes? I was really hoping, I was tweeting out, I really hope that Wong is like the Nick Fury of the Avengers of the multiverse and the different dimensions, like all the weird stuff. I hope that Wong is now kind of like the new team organizer, like grabbing these different members and kind of bringing the Avengers, these new Avengers together. So I hope that that Wong will kind of take the place of Nick Fury in these post-credits scenes kind of popping up. I'm excited to see that. So, you know, this is like Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings and Ta-Lo and like all of this stuff. I haven't read the comics, so I'm not an expert on any of this. I have no idea what direction it's going to go in, but I'm just really excited about all of it. I hope that we'll get a sequel in the next couple of years. I hope that it's sooner rather than later. I'm excited for Disney Plus Day, which is coming in November, where they're going to unveil a lot more. Like last time we had Disney Plus Day, they announced like 10 Marvel series. And so I hope that we'll get more series in development. And I hope that part of that will be the Ten Rings. I hope it is kind of like, a Book of Boba Fett situation where that's going to kind of explore the Star Wars underworld. I hope that we'll get the Ten Rings as a series that explores, you know, the underworld of the Marvel universe that goes back to places like Madripoor and things like that. I think that would be really exciting. So, or it can be just an awesome like martial arts tournament style series. That would be really cool too. So, those are all of my thoughts. One more on the journey of Shang-Chi and Wenwu. This film, I think the most powerful part of this film, and it is obviously the journey of Shang-Chi's character, is that he has to come to terms with both parts of his heritage, where he has his father and his mother, and both of them exist within him, and you have these different, you're trying to kind of carry on the legacy of your parents, and you're trying to come to terms with everything that they've done and the parts of them that still exist within you. And also like his journey of accepting, you know, forgiving himself or like the things that he's done. And I think that, you know, what I did not expect going into this was the emotional resonance of the finale where his father and him, you know, they have healing within their family. And his father ultimately sacrifices himself, at the end of the battle. So I thought that, you know, just the themes there of family and of coming to a place of peace with both the good and like the light and the darkness that can exist within you, and finding a way to channel both of those into your purpose, and like, you know, find balance. And so I thought that was a really, really interesting part of the story. So don't know if I explained that really well, but Tony Leung just crushed it in this film as Wenwu. He is a complex, that's why I said antagonist. I don't think he is a straight up villain. I think that he is an antagonist. And I think that he's just at odds with Shang-Chi in this story. And they are at odds as father and son, and they're finding healing and they're finding resolution in their relationship. And I think that's what makes this a powerful story, in the same way that we had Black Panther, you know, T'Challa coming to terms with T'Chaka and what his father had done, and the way that Killmonger was kind of justified in feeling the things that he felt and the path that he had taken. So I think that it's great getting another complex family story that's not as, it's not as easy as black and white, good and evil. It's more complex than that. It's more layered than that. So I thought that this was just an incredibly well done story on that front. So those are all of my thoughts on Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. If you have seen it, you can let me know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this film, what you think they did well, if you had any issues with the film, we'd love to hear it. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mace on Movies. You can chat with me there if you're enjoying the podcast. Like I said, more stuff is coming, so hit subscribe, leave a rating, leave a comment, all that stuff. Share it with your friends and family. That would be amazing. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope that wherever you are, you're doing well and taking care of yourself, that you're doing well physically and mentally. And I hope that we'll remember to be kind to one another. Thanks, everybody.